Chapter 9. Jane walked into the precinct of AMP 5. The atmosphere was bubbling with a new excitement she instantly felt. Tim had the phone to his ear and was shaking his head at Dale. As soon as Dale noticed Jane, he gestured to his partner. "Looks like you two are keeping busy," she smiled. "Everything okay?" Tim stood. "Ah, you're here already. I was just calling you." She checked her watch. "I'm on time, aren't I?" "I was calling to say you should take the night off." "Why?" Dale nodded. "We've just had another call. He struck again." She covered her mouth. "Oh my God, the killer? Again? What happened?" "I can't believe it." "You want some water?" Jane shook her head. "It's incredible. This is happening, isn't it? This is really happening. Who was it? Where did it happen?" "We're about to go there now," Tim said. "But tonight, Jane, I'd prefer if you stayed here, or we can drop you off at your apartment on the way." "But really," he nodded, enforcing his position. He'd become aware she worked on fiction, not fact. Easing her into his line of work would be better than launching her into a pile of dead bodies night after night. He needed to protect her from the gore. Offering her sight of his notes afterwards seemed a better option. "We'll take you back." "But I'll get grief from Carl and Jerry, Tim. I'm supposed to see it all." "I'd prefer it if you were home." Dale jumped in. "You won't miss a thing, Jane. We'll be in touch." He grabbed his jacket from behind his chair and threw it over his shoulder. She looked a mixture of crestfallen and thankful. "Will you call me later?" "Sure," Dale grinned. "Absolutely. I meant Tim. You know, just so I'm on the same page as you both." Tim nodded for another officer to escort her home. "Frank will get you there safely." Frank, an older officer with more years behind the desk than on the streets, if his size was anything to go by, dropped her off and ordered her to lock the windows and doors behind him. He even checked the place before he left, something she suspected Tim had bestowed upon him. She made herself a hot drink and sat at the table, hand on mouse, moving through pages and reading her texts so far. It was hard to concentrate on the story. Her mind kept leaping back to the murder. Another poor woman had lost her life tonight. It was incredibly tragic. She'd written about murders for years, described them fully and convincingly, but until she actually saw one, she'd never written about them in their entirety. Sure, seeing them up close and personal was good for her work and her imagination, but it was eerily real and sickening too. She looked back at the previous page and read through it again, forcing her mind to focus on the job. She was always surprised at how much her subconscious picked up. She tapped on the keyboard for a further hour when the phone rang. It was almost 7. "Tim?" she asked. Nobody replied. "Tim, is that you?" Whoever it was hung up. Then it rang again. "Tim?" she almost yelled. "Jane!" Jerry's voice crawled through her skin into her bones. "I hear you have a boyfriend these days." "What do you want? I'm waiting for a call. I'm going to have to ask you to get off the line." "I was going to take you to lunch today, but you stood me up. That's not nice." His voice sounded creepier than usual. Something about the way he spoke chilled her. "What do you know about Mantra Publishing, Jerry?" she asked outright. "What?" "I'm interested." "The company went under years ago. It was a dodgy time." "Who ran it?" She tried to make light of it by adding a touch of laughter. "You know, just out of curiosity." "What's this about?" "I was ringing about lunch today, and since you stood me up, I was hoping to take you out to dinner instead." "I have plans already. Now, about Mantra." Jerry hung up. She instantly dialed Tim's number and waited for him to answer. "Angel?" "Tim, it's me. I need to see you. Are you all right?" "Yes, I'll be right there." Jane had a bad feeling, and it grew by the minute. She waited patiently by her computer, and then began pacing 10 minutes after. Her overactive imagination was getting crazy now. As soon as she heard a knock, she launched herself across the room, and Tim stood in the doorway. She flew into his arms, revelling in his grasp. "Are you okay?" He stroked her head. "I've been thinking all kinds. My imagination has been working way overtime here. What happened to the woman earlier? What did she look like? Do you think it was the same guy?" "We're pretty sure it was, yeah." "Oh my God, that's awful." "Yeah, it is." He stroked her head and finally pulled her away from him. "Don't tell me she was a brunette." He didn't say a word. "My God, she was?" His phone suddenly rang, making them both jump. "Angel?" Whatever the caller said, Tim closed his eyes in disbelief. He closed his phone, replacing it in his breast pocket. "The last one, Jessica Cartwright. She also wrote a book published by Mantra. Jane, I've got to go. I'll come with you. I can't let you. You have to. I spoke to Jerry earlier. I asked him outright about Mantra. I know I don't have any proof, but I feel sure the Castors ran it. Her words were hurried, like her pulse. What if Jerry or Carl had something to do with these women? The more her crime-writing mind raced, the wilder her thoughts became. What if they hired someone? Or worse, oh God, what if they killed them? Relax, okay? Calm down. My agents could be murderers, Tim. I fit the description of the women as well. Jesus, I could be next. He held her shoulders and looked directly into her eyes. You've got to calm down. This is getting way too close, Jane. Yes, they're all authors who match your basic description, but you can't start thinking like that. You'll become crazy before the night's out. He touched her hair and stroked her cheek, sending all kinds of sensations through her. I couldn't bear it if something happened to you. You have to stay here. Lock the door after I leave and don't open it again till I come back. I want to be with you. No. I'll be with you, she shrugged. How could anything happen to me? Come on, Tim. I'm safer with you than staying here alone. I'm scared. No, stay here. But I said no. You might not always be within my view. How can I protect you if I can't see you? But you can't see me at all if I'm here alone. He headed for the apartment door, leaving her with a sour expression. Bolt the door after I go. Tim, she ran towards the door, tears of frustration in her eyes. What if I had an idea about how to capture him? Would you hear me out? Short of putting a bomb under him, what are you proposing? Jane hoped he would listen, but what she suddenly had in mind, however, was far from comforting.